Campbell underneath center, waiting on the snap. Takes the snap, turns, gives. McGahee gives it back to Campbell. He steps, he fires, he's got Gordon wide open, caught it! 10-5, touchdown!
Well, flea flicker play there. They gave it to McGahee, threw it back, and Josh Gordon got away from him.
It's time to bring together the roundtable on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci here on a Reaction Monday on Cleveland Browns Daily. And now it is time to bring together the roundtable, brought to you by Sam and Dave's in downtown Rocky River, celebrating their 20th annual Main Event Lobster Celebration. Check out the delicious details at salmonddaves.com. That's salmon like the fish and Dave's like Dave Logan. This famous Main Event Lobster Celebration is going on now through Thanksgiving. Stop in on Sunday and get $15 off the delicious New England lobster bake. Trust us, you do not want to miss that. Go in there. It's a great deal. It's open every Sunday at 1, but you better make reservations now. And joining Vic and myself here on the hotline from the PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Doug Deacon, and from the AP, Tom Withers. Gentlemen, it is the same as it's been the last 2 weeks in the sense that the Browns were not victorious, but it feels a lot different to me. Doug, what positives did you take away from this game against the Kansas City Chiefs?
Well, I think you saw some consistency at the quarterback position. I think the protection was much better than it's been in some of the other weeks. It's just a matter, I think, right now, you find out that two halves do make a whole, and we've got to, start playing two halves.
I'll echo all those sentiments and add that the defense finally showed up in the second half after some, boy, that first half, I don't know where we were going with that, but, I'm not sure one half erases what had been pretty much eight quarters of bad football preceding that. I mean, the second half of the Detroit game, followed by the Green Bay game, following a bad first half yesterday, but I think on a whole, the team comes out of the weekend with some optimism, as Doug pointed out, with some consistent quarterback play.
Yeah, my sense is that something, we made a big deal about adjustments being made or not being made against the Detroit Lions and the whole halftime adjustment talk. If there was one adjustment for this game, I think it might have come down to a simple case of Rob Chudzinski challenging his players, whatever moments he had in that locker room at halftime, to say, we got to knock this off and get something going. Because it was an entire team malaise that we saw in that first half. And it was more disappointing, I think, frankly, to see the defensive side. Because offensively, you can understand you're trying to get
some rustiness.
Rustiness, yeah, new quarterback, sure, trying to get in sync with that. But then it all came together. And I'm just wondering if finally this team started to believe it can do things. Doug, is it a confidence issue that maybe struck it at halftime of that game?
Well, I don't know if it's confidence. I think it's the fact that you had some success. When they went for the field goal and they missed it and they gave us pretty good field position.
That was huge.
Yeah, that was, a big plus. But then the offense took advantage of it. And all of a sudden, the defense has got to be interested in, hey, they're going to put some points on the board. We can shut them down. We're back in this ball game. And then you add on another three. So, I think, one side bleeds or does better off what the other side does, or it helps them. And I think that's the case of, a team football. Now, the problem becomes with Travis Benjamin being down. That aspect of the game all of a sudden takes a pretty big hit.
Yeah, it certainly does hurt the special teams, which had been a big part of this, and we saw the impact of Travis Benjamin's injury right away when Devon Best came in and was not able to come up with the punt when what was a very critical play in the game. I thought the defense in the second half played much better. I thought overall they had a pretty solid effort, but still third downs, over 50% of them converted. Tom, what can they do on third down?
I don't know what to tell you there. Ray Horton talked last week about this defense coming into its own and obviously being a better unit by Thanksgiving. Well, I think we saw in the second half yesterday, though, that he dialed up some pressures and they got some. As far as third down, I'm not sure. I'm sure they're still scared. That's gone on since the Miami opener.
Right.
And I think at one point yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, the Chiefs were 8 of 10. And so they did a little better job correcting that. So I think it's in terms of maybe figuring out some coverages, maybe, creating some non-mismatches, if you will. I mean, I know quarterbacks are always going to find the right guy and mismatches downfield. But, that thing's still hanging over him. Third down, both sides of the ball.
Right.
We look at this game now, and the loss of Travis Benjamin and what that means to this team is can't be minimized. And I guess it's even – maybe it would be slightly easier to take if you hadn't seen Devon Best fumble that punt. Devon Best looks like a guy who's trying maybe a little too hard.
Pressing.
And
no
what,
question.
Three games in a row, he's dropped his first pass. Yeah. What do you think's going on there?
Well, I don't know. Doug can answer this better than I can, just in terms of what goes through a player's mind when things aren't going well and how he wants to impress. He wants to live up to the idea that he came here to be a possession receiver. And, you know, I don't know that he seemed to be putting him in good situations. Unfortunately, it seems like he drops that first ball that goes to him every week, which then is another bang to that confidence, and he just can't quite get over the hump.
Well, I can't address that because I never dropped a pass. I'm one for one. Ozzie can't say that. But anyhow, you know, I think sometimes when you start a game, you know, the first couple plays, you get the adrenaline cooking pretty, you know, and I think your body starts racing. And, you know, I always liked it when we had the first play, it was like a three-step drop so you could just get the feel of the game and get yourself into it. You know, and that was one of the things I think yesterday, you know, for Jason Campbell. You know, you're going into a hostile environment and all of a sudden, you know, you're playing at game speed. And you practice, you're not playing at game speed.
Right.
You play an exhibition game, you're not playing at real game speed. And, you know, you could see, I think, in the first half, there was some dust or rust or whatever coming off of him. And, you know, but once he got into it, I think it was good. And I think, you know, the fact the offensive line did such a great job yesterday in pass protection, you know, that really helps to stabilize the position. And his ability to move in within
right.
the pocket and buy a little extra time, that helped too.
You know, we raised some eyebrows last week when Chud kept bringing up Jason's mobility because we really hadn't seen it. But I think it's to Doug's point that, you know, when the heat is on and you're in game situations, maybe that adrenaline makes you a little bit quicker. So he did a nice job, though, stepping out of some situations that, frankly, I thought were doomed.
Yeah, and a couple. There was a sure sack where he kind of spun out of there and ended up picking up 5 yards. I remember that play. And, yeah, that's the thing. You know, we talked about it before you guys joined us here on the roundtable, which is brought to you by Sam and Dave's in downtown Rocky River, where they are celebrating their 20th annual Main Event Lobster Celebration. We were talking about his ability to move within the pocket, and whether it's to create a run, create a throwing lane by a split second of time, that's something that we hadn't seen with Brandon Weeden. We saw it with Brian Hoyer. And listen, in today's NFL, when an offensive line can't pass protect for that long, week after week after week, snap after snap, that's key. And I thought that was the biggest difference with Jason Campbell.
Yeah, I mean, he extended a couple plays, and there's a feel. I mean, some guys have it, some guys don't. And, you know, rather than, you know, tucking and, you know, not continue to look, he continued to look down the field and he was able to make a couple plays doing it.
I think this is, again, a situation where we forget that Brandon Weeden is a second-year player. This is a ninth-year player in his 72nd start. We talked about this last week.
Yeah.
This is why he made the start, because he has a better feel for these kinds of situations.
And I wonder, maybe not to overplay one half of a performance, because basically that's what we're looking at here that gives this team momentum, but it was the right half. It's the, it's the second half. So if you're going forward looking at this team now taking on Baltimore, taking on the second half of the schedule, which seems to put it in a better position, easier games, I put that in quotes, when you're 3-8 or 3-5 through 8 games, nothing's easy. But I just wonder if this team is in a better position to do some things in the second half of the season than it has been.
I definitely think so. And it's 8 games, but doesn't it feel like 20? This has been like a season and a half. It's But I think you're right. And I heard some of that from Paul Kruger today in the locker room, how, you know, they've been trying to button up some of these little mistakes on a week-to-week basis. And some of the same ones have emerged, but they fixed some things as well. And I think they are heading into a good stretch here, Vic, where they have, you know, the Ravens at home. They get the bye week, a chance to kind of reevaluate things and see where they're at. But I think, again, it comes back to that quarterback. And I think having a quarterback playing at that kind of a level trickles down on both sides of the ball.
It certainly trickles down. And you look at the second half, and yes, you talk about the Ravens at home, then the bye at the Bengals. And after that, Steelers who have been struggling, the Jaguars who have been struggling. Jaguars are the worst team in the league right now at home. Those are some winnable games. Mm-hmm. And this team needs to get some confidence, and hopefully they can start with this Baltimore Ravens team, because this Ravens team hasn't put a lot of points on the board. They haven't had more than 2 touchdowns in a game in 6 straight. So hopefully this is a game where the defense can build some momentum. And we talked about the offensive line protecting. Well, the defensive line had been not getting to the quarterback. 6 sacks in this one. Doug, what did they do differently, and what did you take away from the performance in the pass rush?
Well, I think they adjusted to the fact in the first half, you know, Kansas City was doing a lot of motion, a lot of shifting. And, I, you know, it took them a while to sort out, you know, how they were going to attack him. And once they figured it out, I think they took away something. I know there was one play I saw Chris Owens jam the wide receiver. I thought, oh, great, you know, he's not going to get off the line of scrimmage. But when he jammed him, unfortunately, he recoiled and came off, and the guy, you know, was open. But, you know, I think, you know, that aggressive play at the line of scrimmage on the receivers, the disruptive rhythm is
right.
Something that's, you know, a missing ingredient.
Yeah, and the other thing that I know the next a little more than 24 hours will hopefully settle for us is all the trade discussion that swirls around this team. And it's like a daily thing now where, and not only is it the Josh Gordon watch, but it became now the Jordan Cameron / Greg Little watch. Basically everybody available for trade is the sense you get from the latest report. This one was Jason Lockenfor yesterday from CBS Sports. Just your thought on how disruptive that's been, or has it had a positive effect on everyone sort of worrying about their place on this team.
Yeah, rallying around each other a little bit. Maybe, I don't know. It's hard to read. You know, I tried to put Coach Chudzinski on the spot today and just say, with, you know, no uncertain terms, are you guys not trading Josh Gordon? And he said that. And I think nobody is available.
Right.
They're not shopping anyone. And I've been kind of waiting for that from this organization to step forward and say, Josh Gordon is our guy. Now, listen, I know the business of football as well, that they're going to field phone calls, and if somebody puts together a package you just can't say no to, you're going to make the trade. But I think it has had an effect clearly on Josh Gordon. I was glad to see him then step up yesterday and play as well as he did. But I think once 4 o'clock comes and goes tomorrow and this team is still situated the way it is, it'll be a positive.
I think, you know, it's a pretty tough thing for a young ball player to have your name dangled out there as a trade bait, because, you know, nobody really wants to relocate. And, you know, I think Josh, you know, likes the town and everything. And, you know, I think the team realizes, hey, if you get rid of Josh Gordon, you might as well play your red zone offense for 60 minutes
right.
because you're not going to stretch the field.
That's exactly right. And we were talking just in this game alone, they accounted for 213 yards of the 290 that were thrown for by Jason Campbell. So they clearly are an important piece of this passing attack. The running game. Should we just not even address it anymore? Are we ever going to have a running game?
We saw some moments of a running game yesterday, though, and I thought they were a couple of pretty
in the second half.
Pretty key pickups. I've been surprised that they haven't seemed to stick with it at any point, Doug.
Well, I mean, I don't think you know you got a guy in McGahee who's a little long in the tooth for a running back. You know, we kind of took away the fact that Andy Reid wasn't a pass happy coach. I mean, our numbers, we were. But, I mean, but you know, you want somebody, I think, you know, we've got to attack the perimeter. You know, McGahee is great, and we catch him offside. But the thing is, I think that part of it, just the, 12 runs we had, helped the offensive line, too. Because when you do gash him for, you know, 8 or 10 yards on a shot, all of a sudden, you know, they got to be, you know, at least honor the run.
I mean, I had some envy when I'm watching this Chiefs offense, the way they utilized Jamaal Charles and Dexter McCluster, and they're special talents for sure. And I say to myself, why can't there be something like that here? You don't necessarily have to have a dominant running game.
Deion Lewis was here.
But a guy I know. Yeah. I guess that's what it is. Yeah. It's a reminder. You brought that name up again, and it just hurts to think of what might have been.
It's kind of the missing piece in that offense, isn't it?
It is, right? Because they get third and short, and they're converting with those guys. And those guys aren't just getting little plays. They both average more than 9 yards per catch.
Yeah.
That's a lot for running backs.
Yeah, well,
Charles always does that.
Exactly.
He's a stud.
But I mean, to have two guys, and that's what killed this team is ultimately you take away if Dexter McCluster doesn't get the touchdown, or if he doesn't be the factor that he was, the Browns have a shot. I don't know that Jamal alone would have done it. He would have done a lot of damage, but they had two guys to do
it. You know, and as far as the Chiefs are concerned, there was a lot of talk today about them being a flimsy 8-0. Well, they're 8-0, and they play pretty nice complementary football as well.
Yeah. And they do. They play a solid game. And you bring up the point with Dexter McCluster. The Browns are the first team that's kept Jamaal Charles out of the end zone. Calvin Johnson didn't beat him. Jordy Nelson had a season-low 42 yards. It's other guys have been able to step up against this defense, and teams have been able to find some mismatches.
Right.
Dexter McCluster, Joseph Fauria, Jarrett Boykin. These guys have been absolutely murdering the Cleveland Browns the last 3 weeks.
And that's the sign of a team that
is
close but needs to step up to that. You can't let those – you don't go into those games letting guys like that beat you. You should be we're aware of it. We talk about it. We say, shut this guy down, but don't let the other ones kill you in the meantime. So it's there's a little bit of an all or nothing approach with this defense, especially.
I guess the question is, you know, Bo had strained his groin, and we put Joe Hayden on him most of the
yeah.
day. They only threw it to him twice.
Yeah, right. One catch.
Did we waste him on Bo as opposed to
Cluster?
Yeah.
That's a fair thought.
Well, that's probably a trust factor then with your coaching staff and not feeling like your other guy can handle him.
Yeah, it could be down to that. Well, guys, appreciate the breakdown, and we will reconvene. All right, this is the Roundtable. He is Tom Withers from the Associated Press, Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network. It is brought to you by Sam and Dave's in downtown Rocky River, celebrating the 20th annual Main Event Lobster Celebration. Be sure to check out the delicious details at samanddaves.com. That's salmon like the fish, Dave's like Dave Logan. And we've got much more coming up for you. We're going to have a conversation with the head coach of the Browns at the top of the hour, Rob Chudzinski. Going to break down yesterday's game with him. Nathan and I are going to be doing more breaking down. We want to hear from you, by the way, on a Reaction Monday, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. The growls from the pound, your tweets at Browns_daily. Hit us. Vic and Nathan, ESPN 850 WKNR.